Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now, 9 minutes each with the two candidates, the two main candidates, to succeed Cory Booker as mayor of Newark in next Tuesday's election. We will hear first from Shavar Jeffries, then from Raz Baraka. Mr. Jeffries, thanks for doing this. Welcome to WNYC.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
How much is this election a referendum on Cory Booker for you?
Well, I think for Newarkers, it's really more about the future than looking back. And for Newarkers, really thinking about how we bring about safer streets and neighborhoods in our community, how we create more job opportunities, how we get our kids to school and, out of high school and to college. So I really think most people are really looking to the future more so than looking backwards.
Well, before I drop that, for people who say this is a referendum on Cory Booker, you're the Booker-type guy. So how much do you want to embrace that yourself or distance yourself from that tag?
Well, I don't review myself at all as the Booker type. I view myself as Shavar Jeffries and affirming the uniqueness of who I am. I've served this community for 15 years as a civil rights attorney and also as an assistant attorney general. I'm from a family with deep roots in the city of Newark. My family's been here almost 100 years. My story is one of struggle. I mean, we had to go through a lot when I came up. My mother was killed when I was young. I was raised by my grandmother, and the Boys and Girls Club gave me everything I had. And so I'm who I am, and I'm not rooted in comparing myself to anyone else for good or for worse. I am the person who God created me to be.
What would you say is the biggest policy difference between you and Mr. Baraka?
I think it's safety. I mean, I think both have a proven track record of driving down crime. I was when I was assistant attorney general, I actually helped to run the crime plan for the state of New Jersey, and we reduced crime 3 years in a row, and we did it through effective prevention, enforcement, reentry programs. And my opponent, he's seen crime skyrocket, murders going up 70% under his watch in the South Ward, and he believes it's appropriate, for example, to apologize and to ask for leniency for gang leaders who've murdered Newarkers. He did so even with respect to a person he said he had never even met. And this kind of approach of apologizing and kind of coddling a gang culture that is driving violence in our community doesn't work, and demonstrably hasn't worked when you look at his record over the last 4 years.
Well, your opponent, I've read, negotiated a temporary gang truce in Newark in 2004. That's considered an accomplishment. How would you approach the gang problem differently with your experience as a former state assistant attorney general?
Well, I would do exactly what we did when we were effective under the Corzine years in driving down violent crime. So we first invested in prevention, so after-school programs for young people, gang prevention programs, particularly evidence-based proven ones like Youth Build. On the enforcement side, we targeted guns and gangs. And if you're involved in gun or gang activity on our corners, we were targeting you with multi-agency actions, wiretap actions to frankly take those organizations down because they're organized around violence and is driving the levels of murders. We had 100-level murders in the city of Newark last year. And then we also invest in reentry. So when people are coming out of prison or jail, they have more job opportunities, they have drug treatment and other transitional services so they can reenter effectively. That's what we did. It worked. And what I know doesn't work is thinking that you're going to have a truce with people who are committed to violence. I mean, so a 3 or 4 day truce obviously isn't going to solve the problem. And in the very year in which this 4 day truce happened in 2004, murder and crime went up that year as well. It doesn't work. And in the South Ward, where Barack is the councilman, murders are up 70%. I'm very proud to have a record of actually driving down crime, and that's where we're going to bring to City Hall.
Would harsher penalties for gang-related activity be something under your purview as mayor?
Well, the penalties are actually pretty stiff. We have to work with the prosecutor, and again, I have experience here as well, to make sure that we're not needlessly downgrading those who are charged with crimes of violence. Nonviolent offenders, I want to treat in a public health standpoint. So nonviolent drug users, I don't want them touching the criminal justice system. I want them to be diverted to drug court and treatment programs. But for those who are driving violence, all we need to do is charge them at the level that they deserve with the penalties we already have. We don't need new penalties. We just need to use the resources and the opportunities we already have with the laws that exist on the books today.
On education, if I can switch to that topic, I see you served as president of Newark School Authority Board, and you had a role in launching a charter school in Newark. As mayor, would you support more charters in the city?
Well, I support the parents' right to choose the school option that's best for their child. And so any school that is effective in educating children and preparing them for a global 21st century economy, I support. We have some very strong traditional public schools. I'm very proud to have supported those schools when I was the president of the school board. We have some very strong public charter schools, and I founded one, the Team Academy Charter Schools, and I support those. I support anything that works for children. I'm a parent. I'm a parent of two children, and I think like a parent. And most parents just want their kids effectively educated. And so any school that will do that, I will support. And those schools that do not, I want to help them get better and make sure they have the resources so that they can effectively educate our children.
So emphasizing choice, as you just did, means more charter schools, right?
It means more options for parents that are high effective. During my time on the school board, we also opened up new schools within the district. So it's not necessarily only public charters. We opened up a new Eagle Academy school, a Girls Academy school, a Bard Early College. These are all new public schools within the traditional district that provides new options for parents within the district. We also did work to improve some existing schools through extended learning time and more professional development so that we have more neighborhood-based options. Yeah. Also, I do support, of course, adding public charters when we have a track record to believe they're going to do great things for kids. My focus is from the lens of a parent. I want anything that's going to work for their babies, for our babies, and I'll continue to support those things that are proven to work for our children.
Mr. Baraka has called on you to disclose the identity of donors to a group called Newark First, which is supporting you. He says that contributors include supporters of Governor Christie and Wall Street donors. Do you want to respond to that?
Well, every dollar, every penny that I raise is disclosed, and it's available for anybody in the world to find through the Internet, through the New Jersey Election Law Commission. He's referring to independent expenditure efforts, and by law, I cannot coordinate. There's no way I can know, who's contributing to those efforts. I can't coordinate in any way with those efforts, just like he can't coordinate with the efforts that are spending many, many hundreds of thousands of dollars airing commercials about me that are lying, that are claiming I have relationships with Governor Christie that are lying and talking about my record. In fact, I actually sued Governor Christie when he cut our school budget, and we brought back $30 million. So I would love it if he would, call into question some of those efforts as well. But there's no legal basis for me to coordinate, so I have no clue about who's investing in those
organizations. But that group, Newark First, as far as you know, involves donors whose agendas you're comfortable with and don't want to speak out against?
I don't know who's contributing to those efforts because I'm not legally allowed to coordinate. My agenda is the agenda I've articulated, and that's what I support, and that's what I've supported for 15 All right. years as a civil rights attorney, and that's what I'm doing as mayor.
One more policy question, because the city of Newark is facing a possible takeover of the city's finances by the state because of the $90 million deficit. How bad is this, in your opinion? What would you cut, if anything, to close that deficit, and can you prevent a state takeover?
Well, it's pretty dire when you have a $93 million deficit on a budget that's only $600 million. You're talking about 15% of your budget in deficit. I would begin by cutting the exorbitant fat reflected, for example, in the perks that Councilman Baraka enjoys, where we pay our council people $85,000 for a part-time job. Folks like Councilman Baraka have two public jobs. He's a principal and a councilman making $250,000, taxpayer-funded car. Folks like Councilman Baraka, he has his brother on the payroll. His brother, in fact, has two public jobs as well. Between the both of them, they have four public jobs making well over $250,000. I mean, we can't afford that kind of fat and luxuries. And it's frankly outrageous at a time that taxes have been raised 40% and cops laid off. So eliminating waste, fraud, and abuse is critical. Mm-hmm. We also have to manage our health care expenses more responsibly. They're growing at an unsustainable rate. Our revenue cycle is poorly managed, so we have payroll taxes and other receivables that we don't recover at the level that we need to. And then we have to grow revenue. You know, we need a mayor who can partner with the development investment community. My opponent has a 20-year history of being very adversarial to the investment community, and we can't afford that kind of leadership if we're going to grow our revenue and stabilize our economy.
Last thing in our last 45 seconds, the media usually refers to Mr. Baraka as the son of poet Amiri Baraka. I know you've contrasted your background with his in ways that you like to do. Do you think family background, parental background matters one way or another to this race?
I think really for most Norcas, they're really looking to the future. I mean, we do have some of these conversations about identity and authenticity, which I actually think are counterproductive because it suggests if you're not authentic in the way that some define, then you're not welcomed and embraced in the city of Newark. The reality is, you know, people need to know who we are, and who I am is I'm the son of a 19-year-old mom who was killed when she was young and a father who was not around, but I had a grandmother who was amazing and who loved me and who had faith that we could do great things. And I'm also the product of a Boys and Girls Club that gave me a scholarship to go to a college prep high school so that I could be the first in my family to go to college, let alone beyond, and that changed my life. And so I've dedicated my life to giving back to this community because I would not be anywhere without the people of Newark. So as a civil rights lawyer doing pro bono work for 15 years, as school board president, president of the Boys and Girls Club, assistant attorney general, I've been giving everything I have to the people of Newark, and they can be confident that as mayor, I'm going to continue to do the same things I've done for the last 15 years.
Shavar Jeffries, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, 9 minutes each with the two main candidates to succeed Cory Booker as mayor of Newark in next Tuesday's election. Now, Raz Baraka. Mr. Baraka, thank you very much for doing this, and welcome to WNYC.
Good morning. Thank you.
Let me ask you the same first question I asked Mr. Jeffries. How much is this election a referendum on Cory Booker, as far as you're concerned?
Well, I think this is a post-Cory Booker Newark, I think, moving forward. Newarkers are really concerned about what's happening now in the city and how we're going to move the city forward. The only thing that people are really thinking about is the deficit in our city, the crime. In our neighborhoods, and how to create jobs in the community.
What would you say is the biggest policy difference between you and Mr. Jeffries?
Well, I think that ultimately I actually want to work with Newarkers. I want to bring Newarkers to the table. I want to, you know, make sure that we govern from the bottom up instead of a top down. This is a gentleman that is, you know, bringing millions of dollars in from the city, from outside of the city of Newark, who is trying to invest by his campaign, by his way into the city, has not spent any considerable time in Newark doing any kind of work whatsoever to move the city forward, has never been a councilman, has no municipal experience whatsoever.
He talked about his work as a state assistant attorney general trying to reduce crime in the city, which he says is a major qualification.
Right, I understand that, but he was the assistant to the assistant attorney general. The attorney general's name was Ann Milgram. These are the programs that she came up with. Because he was down there, he seems to try to take credit for that. He was only down there for 2 years, as a matter of fact. It was 2 years in the attorney general's office and 3 years on the school board in the city of Newark. Never held any municipal position whatsoever. Wasn't a councilman, wasn't a deputy mayor like I was. Has not been involved in community organizing in any capacity whatsoever.
Talk more about your qualifications. What do you think qualifies you best to be mayor of Newark?
Well, besides the fact that I ran for mayor when I was 24 years old, I've been involved in the city campaigning and working in the city for a very long time, 22 years as an educator, 10 years as a principal of Newark, deputy mayor for 3 years for $1, was a councilman at large for a few months under when Donald Tucker passed away, former councilman. Been a sophomore councilman now on my fourth year. Have an overwhelming amount of municipal experience, understand the budget, understand the issues that are going on in our community and our city, because I've been immersed in these issues from the very beginning. The minute I came back from college, I began organizing around anti-violence issues, around issues of jobs and economic growth in the community, of school and after-school programming, things that we've been doing for the past two decades.
Mr. Jeffries, as you may have heard toward the end of his interview, was criticizing aspects of your experience. He said, for one thing, murders are up in the South Ward, where you are a city councilman, and he criticized what I think you hold up as an accomplishment, which is the temporary gang truce in Newark in 2004. He said murders went up that year, too, and not all the gang members adhered to what you called the truce. So how would you consider your record to be on crime?
Well, first of all, he wasn't even in the town in 2004 to make an estimation about anything that was going on. That was a very effective truce that lasted for a period of time. And I did that as the deputy mayor. There's some things that we needed to do in terms of job placement, in terms of counseling and other kinds of issues that would have, I think, that would have made it last longer, or institute Operation Ceasefire in this city like they did in Boston, or programs like that involving the Rutgers Institute, the Police Institute in Newark here, call-in strategies that they use in Newark. So there's a lot of strategies that we can use on the ground to begin to reduce crime. I'm a legislator. I've been a legislator in the city. There are many things that we've done in terms of the legislative branch of government to help reduce crime in the ward, not just in the ward, but throughout the city. When it comes to pedestrian corridor ordinances, when it comes to closing stores down at specific times to eliminate gang loitering, to partner with the county, state, and federal organizations to come into our city and patrol county roads and state roads and put programs in place in the ward and in the city to help reduce crime. These are things that are happening all over the city. And violent crime is up in the South, but violent crime was up last year, was up in the West and in the Central as well. And robbery was up in the North, and robbery was up in the East. So crime has been pervasive throughout the entire city. He just tries to put it on me completely. What's interesting is that he never says anything about the mayor, police director, or anybody under that. He just says that crime is only affected by the attorney general. That's just like saying the entire state legislature is responsible for crime that's going up all over the state of New Jersey. It's a reach, and it's ridiculous.
Let me move to the question of the budget deficit of over $90 million for Newark and the prospect of a state takeover of the city's finances, like the state years ago took over the city schools. What would you do to reduce that budget deficit, and do you think you can avoid a state takeover?
Well, I think we need to sit down with the state. I mean, ultimately, the state has its own issues, right? So they have hundreds of millions of dollars deficit themselves. So I don't think they really want to come in and take over our budget. And I think we need a self-help strategy that begins to talk about bringing some of our brokerage fees in-house, some insurance, some cuts that we need to make. But ultimately, we cut ourselves all the way down. We've cut in 2010, when I first came on, the City Newark's budget deficit was over $100 million. We laid off 800 and some employees. 176 of them were police officers. I mean, we cut sanitation. They cut code enforcement. I mean, the biggest groups that are heavy in the budget are police and fire. We can't afford to cut those guys anymore. We have to be talking about raising revenue in the city. We have to be talking about finding opportunities to put a legislative package together to go to the state house and say this is what we need to raise the revenue in our town and get the kind of investment in Newark to grow the city so we put more money in our coffers. If we're not talking about that, we're just talking in the dark, and we don't know what the municipal budget is or what the future of the city looks like.
He used you as an example of government waste because he said you've got two jobs, you get two paychecks on the public's dime as a principal and as a council member, and that your brother also has two jobs, something that he said you're responsible for. Your reaction?
Yeah, my brother's a basketball coach. If he wants him to stop coaching basketball, then I mean that's ridiculous. Get a stipend for that. This is the kind of lies.
What's his other job? What's your brother's other paycheck?
He's my chief of staff. I mean, he's my chief of staff, and he's a basketball coach. I mean, me, I'm a public school teacher, a principal. I'm on a leave of absence when I become the mayor of the city. I lose that job. I take a significant pay cut while he takes a pay raise, right? So I've been a principal and an educator in the city of Newark for the last two decades because I went to school and got two degrees and made that happen. That's not a appointed job. It's not a no-show job. It's not on anybody's dime. That's my career. I did that, and I ran for office at the same time, and the people of the South were elected me to be the office. I wasn't appointed. The people on his ticket, however, who he supports, are appointed by the county executive. So they hold two jobs. They are county employees and they are city employees because they are elected officials. These are the people he endorsed and support on his ticket. But I have a job because I earned it, and now I'm leaving my career to run the city of Newark.
Is your brother, because I don't know, is your brother a full-time employee as chief of staff and then a full-time phys ed teacher?
No, he's not a phys ed teacher, sir. He's a full-time employee of the city of Newark as my chief of staff. He coaches basketball. That's not a phys ed teacher.
Sorry. Is that part-time, a full-time? Part-time. That one's part-time.
Yeah, okay. It's absolutely part-time. It's basketball season is not all year.
And let me ask you the same last question that I asked him, which is about family background. A lot has been said about both of your family backgrounds, and mostly in the press, with respect to you, because your father is so famous, the poet Amiri Baraka. Do you want to be judged one way or another, on your father's legacy, an icon to many, very controversial to some for some of the things that he said. Do you want to be judged at all on your father's background or not at all?
How are you judged on somebody else? That makes no sense, right? So you have to be judged on the work that you do, not the, you know, not judged on the work that other people do. I'm proud of my father and the things that he's done and the legacy that he's left in the city of Newark, his fight in the community, and the things that he's done. He was a brilliant man, and I love him. But he's not the mayor of the city. I'll be the mayor of the city. So I won't be judged by him. When I become the mayor, I'm going to be judged by the things that I'm doing in city government.
And when Mr. Jeffrey says he's the authentic candidate because he's the one who grew up poor with a dad out of the picture and, you know, and all of that stuff, and you grew up in the
That's
elite.
That's ridiculous.
In the
That's
elite.
That's really ridiculous.
Around famous people.
That's great. I mean, yeah, my father knew famous people. He was famous. Look, my next-door neighbor was a dentist, Dr. Crooms, Clinton Avenue and 10th Street, in the area where he says all the violent crime is going on. You know, one of my friends grew up with me, Alan Crooms, you know, right next door to him. So he's not an authentic Newarker. He lived in Newark all of his life. You know, we grew up in Newark 40, 50 years. He lived on the same block in the same neighborhood and took care of my family. So he's not a Newarker because both of his family, his mother and father lived in a house. That's ridiculous. And people who purport that is really trying to play into folks' emotions. And it's really kind of insulting to Newarkers to make them think that the only way that they could be authentic in Newark is to be poor or to be victimized. Look, I lost my sister to domestic violence in the city. I'm not running on that. My brother was shot in the head in the South Ward when we were children. I'm not running on that. Because being a single mother doesn't qualify you to be being raised by a single mother doesn't qualify you to be a mayor. Neither does your mother being killed or my sister being killed qualify me to be the mayor. My brother being shot doesn't qualify me to be the mayor. The only thing that qualifies me is my commitment to the city, the work that I've done, the record that I have in this community, and the fact that people actually know who I am.
Raz Baraka, thank you very much for giving us this time. And we heard earlier from Shavar Jeffries, back-to-back interviews with the two candidates for mayor of Newark. That election is next Tuesday.